Amen. Appreciate that. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So we'll spend a few minutes tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. One of the things with Source of Light and even some of the tracts or the other materials that we have are referred to as paper missionaries. And I really like that for a couple different reasons. I feel like it kind of encapsulates the uniqueness of what is Source of Light. And that is, first of all, the power of the written word. You know, once it's in black and white, once it's on paper, it does have amazing power. And, of course, the scriptures are the greatest example of that. I remember it's something even I learned from Pastor Franklin. He had a session on the power of the written word as well. And in Source of Light terms, it's meant that some of the materials are going to places that were never intended. Closed countries, places where God has really somehow taken a booklet or a tract or something. Whole ministries have begun because of an unintended but very sovereignly placed material that God has used. Also, I think it speaks to the slow and steady advance of the gospel. That God's word will go forward, and it'll go forward in its own way. It may seem slow, but it's steady. Christ will build his church, and he uses us as a part of that. Something I've learned as well, again, being part of the refrigerated logistics world, I guess I would sum it up this way, is a logistics is arranging tasks and removing obstacles for a smooth and a steady operation. And so as we present the word, actually logistica, kind of the byline, is getting the word where it needs to go. How can we do that? How can we get the word of God where it needs to go? How can we facilitate that and make it break down obstacles for it to go where it needs to go? And we can do everything possible. We can do everything humanly possible to set up some of those logistics. But there's still something else that's necessary for the word of God to go forward. What is that thing? I believe that that thing is prayer. That prayer itself is the driving force behind the word of God. And there's nothing that we can create. There's no nifty trick. And there's not even really an ability or a thoroughness of explaining the word of God. We can have all the training in the world. We can have the most information even in the world. And without prayer, it could be ineffective. It's with prayer and with God's enabling that anything, any kind of ministry or any kind of mission will happen. And so I find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, a missionary's prayer. This is what Paul was praying, I feel, not only for those he reached, but also asking them to pray for him. So we'll read the passage and pray briefly and look at it for a few minutes. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this prayer and this text that helps us understand our partnership as we do ministry for you, as we pursue our mission for you. We pray that we would be challenged in our minds according to your word, that we'd be more like Christ and more faithful in our witness of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How I might summarize this brief passage is that we should pray for you on your way, or you should pray for us on our way, or maybe put it this way, I'll promise you that we will pray for you on your way. Will you pray for us on our way? On our way in the Christian life and the mission that God has called us to and has called you to. I see in the passage two realities, which we'll get to in a moment, but also five prayer requests that Paul details in this passage, and we'll look at them first. Pray for success. Pray for success, number one. Paul says, finally, brethren, this is what remains to be said for him. This is one of the last things that he's going to say. He says, finally, brethren. It's interesting, he calls them brethren, of course, a family term, but Paul really didn't know these Thessalonian believers that well. He actually had just met them, really, and he really had just shared Christ with them. But as brief as his introduction was to them, he did have a fellowship with them in Christ, and many of you have probably felt that before. Someone you had just met, you have a sincere fellowship and connection with them. Maybe it's shared experience, but most of all, in Christ, in Christian fellowship. And this is where Paul is speaking as well. He says for them, or asked for them to pray for us. To pray, the idea is continually an ongoing act that he's asking of them, that they pray for them for two reasons right off. First of all, and primarily, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Notice first on Paul's mind is not necessarily his health or his well-being or even his safety, as he'll mention in a moment, but it's specifically that the word itself would have free course and be successful in the areas where he placed it. Of course, all those other things are related to that. You can't have the word have free course if you're not there. But Paul's concern was that the word of the Lord may have free course. Of course, the word of the Lord could refer to divine revelation in general. I think specifically here he's talking about the gospel of salvation, the good news both from and about Jesus Christ. And if you want to look at Acts 13, 44 to 49 as a cross-reference for that, Paul's praying that the word would have free course, that the word would run. Literally, that the word would speed on, make progress without any hindrance, without any interference. We really see here the track and then the podium as the word is also glorified of an Olympian. Of primary importance is the successful sharing of the gospel as told in the scriptures. It is the ultimate aim of missionaries, and thereby I mean all Christians, whether you're a volunteer or vocational. This is our focus, is the word of God, that it have free course, that it run, and that it also be glorified, that it would win. That it would run and it would win. It would be glorified. It would have a sense of triumph in being honored or exalted as it is recognized, as it is acknowledged for what it is. We glorify God. We see him as he is, that the word itself would have free course, and then it would be honored, and it would be recognized with the glory that it already has. Even as Paul says, happened with you. It happened in real space and time with the Thessalonians. Again, some cross-references, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5-8, 2:13, Acts 17. We find where Paul was sharing on his second missionary journey. He had been at this for some time now, but again, the missionary journeys weren't that long, 49 to 51 AD. The Bible can speak for itself. Of course, we know that. But God uses us to preach, to announce, to explain to those who have not yet heard. The Bible will be acknowledged either way, and it's either going to be embraced and honored, or it's going to be rejected. And so the question for each one of us and those that we're trying to reach is, how will they respond to the truth? But I think a more specific question for me and for you is, do you and I wake up every day concerned with this idea that the word of the Lord run and win? Is that something that we think of every day as we head to our jobs or head to see friends and head to visit family? Is it our concern that the word of the Lord both run and win in the lives of people, that God would use it? So pray for success. Secondly, pray for safety. Paul does go on to say, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable That meaning out of place or really outrageous. It was kind of ridiculous sometimes, the things that people would do or continue to do in our day. And wicked, generally evil or openly evil. Deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. But there's an explanation for that. Paul gives us, for all men have not faith. It is amazing what people do in their natural state, in their sinful state, as they're confronted with their sin and they respond in negative ways to the gospel. But the simple explanation, the ultimate reality, is that not all men have faith. They simply do not believe. They do not have a formal belief or trust in the gospel. And we have to say that Paul's a little understated here. It's like, it's pretty simple. They simply don't all have faith, but no more tragic thing could be said for people that are lost and blind in their and dead in their trespasses and sins. They simply have not heard, or they will not believe, and the only truth that can save them, they just refuse. So I said there was two realities, and that's the first one, is faithless is the world. Not all men have faith. Faithless is the world, but faithful is the Lord. As Paul wrote this passage, actually in the original language, it's, you can't miss it. When he says, for all men have not faith, faithful is the Lord, is how it reads. And I was almost overwhelmed thinking of this yesterday, because when you think about Paul saying that not all men have faith, you might think that he goes on to say, but you Thessalonians do. You've believed in the gospel. You have faith, and it's growing. And of course, they did. But Paul doesn't do that. He says, all men do not have faith. Faithful is God. If there's a reason why we should be motivated to serve, yes, it is the faithlessness in the world. It's the lack of faith among so many thousands and even people across the universe. But if man's faithfulness is a reason to go, that much more is God's faithfulness. Man's faithlessness, God's faithfulness. Because, you know, we could try as much as we can. We could have the greatest heart. We could have the greatest burden for those that are lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. But at some point, our own efforts, our own striving, our own, even our faith is not going to be sufficient. It's going to wear out. It's going to break down. What we need to go back to is the faithfulness of God, that Christ will build his church, that the Lord is faithful. Even the Old Testament, the common theme is the faithfulness of God, that he is alive and he is acting and that he is using us. And not only should we have that burden to see others have faith in God, but we need to be confident and go back continually to this fact, to this reality, that faithful is the Lord. He is the one that has called us and is sustaining us. And so Paul gives these requests. He prays for success. He asks prayer for safety. Under this point, pray for assurance. Paul says that we may, that the Lord would establish you and keep you. Again, providing stability, defending his people. Pray for assurance. Pray for obedience. He says we have this confidence. Again, you might think he said, we have a confidence that you're going to do what we had told you to do like you've done before. You'd think that's what he said, but no. He says, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that he will work in you both to do and to will. Sounds like a little bit like Philippians. The things which we command you, as Paul and his associates were being faithful to the word of God, he was asking them to pray for their own obedience and for the obedience of those they were trying to reach as well. Pray for assurance, pray for obedience, and pray for guidance. When it comes to God's will or what God would have us to do, so many times that's what we pray for. We pray for guidance. We pray for wisdom. But I find it interesting how Paul puts it. He says, the Lord direct your hearts into the place of ministry for you, into God's will for your life, into what God would have you to do. No, Paul doesn't go there. His first concern is not necessarily what we do next. No, it's where we find the source of our direction and of our heart for God. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Or different put, direct your hearts to the love of God, God's love for you and your love for God, if you will, but also the steadfastness, the endurance of Christ, and then our resulting endurance for Him as well. At some point, we will be overwhelmed by the task before us. When any missionary comes, you might resound with support for them and want to join and want to go. The needs are great. The needs are countless. When we actually get into the needs and get into the burdens and get into the struggle, we become overwhelmed with the task and with the need. But we need first, not in reference to seek God's will and His wisdom with what to do next, but where to find our source of strength, that we turn back to the Lord first. We turn back to the love of God, to the endurance of Christ, and then we turn and do the next thing that God would have us to do, sharing God's love, enduring suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I will say again that we will pray you on your way, and I'll ask if you will pray us on our way. Prayer is the driving force behind any ministry that we could ever do. Even Paul Sager of Biblical Ministries Worldwide has brought out this truth that prayer is like the air support for the boots on the ground that are doing ministry. And we ask, as you consider partnering with Source of Light and with our ministry, that you believe in the power of prayer, and that we all go back to the God who loves us, and that we share His gospel with the lost. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful again for tonight. I'm so grateful for Hardingville Bible Church and just how much it means to me, to my family, over many years. How you continue to do a work here, and you continue to encourage many and reach this area and the world with the gospel through this church. And so I do pray for them that you would that the word would have free course here and would be glorified, that you would protect them, and that you would direct them back to who you are. We pray in our respect as well, as we continue along this path that you have for us, that you would direct us in the same ways, and that you would be honored and glorified in all things.